Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
All right, dear hearts, come on, open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We've been in a series that I've entitled, Glory to God. God says, my life matters. God says, my life matters. We've begun with Matthew chapter 5. We'll use that as our launching pad scripture, and then we'll build on all that we've shared thus far. Today, it's going to be a blessing to you. Trust me. Look at verse 14. Let's start at verse 14. And it says, I'm reading from the King James Bible. You follow along with whatever translation you have. Verse 14 of the fifth chapter of Matthew says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, I am believing God that this particular teaching will transform and revolutionize the lives of those who hear it. I stated that when we first started this particular series, because I want us to learn how to live our lives based upon the purpose God reveals to us. I want to live my life based upon my purpose being revealed, and watch this, and identifying how to find fulfillment in life without focusing on myself. Come on, write yourself a note. God wants me to know how to find fulfillment in life without focusing on myself. He doesn't want me to become self-conscious. He doesn't want me to become selfish. He doesn't want me to become self-centered. He doesn't want me to make life about me. God says, my life matters, and we're looking at how our lives matter so that we can live a life of purpose, a life of fulfillment. If you're not careful, you will allow your self-interest, self-indulgence, and selfish ways to try to bring you happiness, and you'll live frustrated. You'll blow up and mess up relationships. You may blow up and mess up your family, all because of this search for fulfillment. So this lesson is about developing a self-worth that performs intentional good things. I shared with you already in this teaching how when Cheryl and I got married, how I used to try to live through her, draw my happiness through her. I thought that she had to do this, this, and this in order for me to be happy about me, happy about my life. If she wasn't doing what I wanted, if she didn't do what I requested, if she didn't do what she knew would make me happy, then I'm upset. Well, that's living a very, very selfish life. But because I wasn't trained and taught how to pursue fulfillment without focusing on myself, I made life about myself. That's why some of you have experienced depression, because your standard for your life has been wrong. That's why some of you have lived in some form of discouragement, because of your standard for living has been wrong. That's why some of you have lived and experienced some disappointment, because your standard for living has been wrong. It's not based upon the standard God has set for you. And so you've accepted a false standard trying to live a fulfilled life. Oh, let me say that again. You've accepted a false standard trying to live a fulfilled life. But we're going to bring balance today. That's what we've been doing in this teaching series. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we talked about this. If life does matter, how do I manifest that kind of life? What do I do if I know my life matters? And so we said in this teaching already that when we don't value our lives, when we don't value the moment in life, we also will not value the people God puts in our lives. We'll only use them to a certain extent to get what we want. We'll only use them for what we think will either bring us pleasure, bring us promotion, bring us prosperity. Are you following me? Instead of understanding how to live a life of self-worth based upon who God reveals you are, what God has deposited in your life, and where God says he's taking you for life. Jesus. When life matters to a person, they will live with a sense of value. I've already shared this with you, but it bears repeating. When life matters to a person, they will live with a sense of value, a sense of worth, and a sense of purpose that restricts them from accepting anything in life. It'll restrict them from getting involved in certain activities that will devalue them in life. But it also will cause them to become involved in certain activities along the pathway of life that enhances their life because they have this sense of value, this sense of worth, and this sense of purpose. Matthew 5:14, Jesus here tells us you are the light of the world. But there are a lot of people who are living this life who do not believe that they have a light in this world. That word light can be used as a metaphor for influence. It also can be used as a metaphor for impact. It also can be used as a metaphor for worth. If I don't believe that I have a light, then I'm not going to let my light shine. If I don't believe that I have a light, then I'm not going to look to do any good works. And therefore, I'm not going to live my life to glorify God. It'll all be about me and my comparisons, how I compare myself to others. So I think I asked this question last week. It bears repeating. When you die, what will you be remembered for? Will all they do is remember that you were a good worker? When you die, what will you be remembered for? Will they all they remember is your bad attitude, your bad temperament? When you die, what will you be remembered for? Will people show up at your memorial service, sad that you're gone, and 2 days later start living like you were never here? When you die, what will you be remembered for? Will your presence be missed because of the value you brought to other people's lives? The weight of worth that you extended to others to raise them to another level in life? Or will you only be remembered for small contributions? I always say this, you know, how people do all they can to go to a job and then they don't take care of themselves. And I say, now listen now, because once you're gone, that job will continue and they will continue without you. And so you got to learn how to draw your self-worth from what really matters. So we talked about various things. We said that we pointed out several things of how your life matters. Number one, we stated this just to remind you, this should already be in your notes, that God says your life matters because he loves you. Your life matters because he loves you. Make a note of the scripture, or you can go ahead and turn there if you like. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Bible says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God loves me with an everlasting love. He doesn't love me with an emotional love. He doesn't love me based upon my performance. He doesn't love me based upon me jumping through hoops. He loves me with an everlasting love. And you got to understand something. This love is not a warm feeling he has for you and I. This love is a commitment to us regardless of us, Jesus. My life matters because this perfect God has chosen to commit to me no matter where I am in life, to enhance me because he has given me life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then number two, we stated, glory to God. God says your life matters because he gave his son for us. He gave his son for you. Everyone say, God says my life matters. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's one of the things I had to learn. I remember the time, y'all heard me share this testimony multiple times, but I'll say it again. I remember the times I went to God, I upset at Cheryl. I was upset, man. I was upset because Cheryl wouldn't get in there and cook me no eggs. She didn't cook because, you know, I love breakfast food. And so I go to God, I say, you need to deal with your daughter. And God simply responded, get in there and cook them yourself. I said, that's not right. Because watch this. I came into the marriage with a criteria of what I can have, expect, what I'm going to do, and what she's supposed to do. So that was my criteria. It wasn't based on the word of God. It was based on the world. And so here I am trying to find happiness, worth, value based on the criteria of the world. And I'm ruining my marriage. Man, I'm messing things up because my perspective is skewed. Man, it's corrupted. And so whatever your perception is determines how your happiness will be. Write that down. Whatever your perception is, it will determine how your happiness will be. So I was blaming her. And God says, get in there and cook it yourself. I said, why, God? He said, Mark, you're going to allow your joy for the rest of the day to be ruined over some cooked eggs. Well, I didn't see it like that. I was looking at it as Cheryl isn't doing such and such for me. See, it wasn't based upon the marriage. It was based upon what I wanted. It wasn't based upon glorifying God. It was based upon what I wanted. It wasn't even based upon asking Cheryl if something was wrong with her. That didn't matter. What mattered to me was I want my eggs. And that's how some people live. I use me as an example because I don't want to talk about you. So I'm using me as an example to show you how selfish we can live, how selfish we can be, how narrow-minded many times we are, not only in relationships, but in how we live life. And we set ourselves up for regret, set ourselves up for failure, set ourselves up to be disappointed, set ourselves up all because of our wrong perspective. God says your life matters because he gave his son for you. Look at this scripture, Romans chapter 5. And let's start at verse number 6, Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Watch this, dear hearts. Glory to God. And I'm getting somewhere. I'm just reminding you of some things before I dive off into this. Romans 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God," I love verse 8, "commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So, number one, I found out that God says my life matters because he loves me. He's committed to me for eternity. Then, two, God says my life matters because he gave his son for me. While I was yet a sinner, God commended his love toward me. He told me, "Mark, you're worth it." He told you that you're worth it. And you're worth it so much, he has to send his son. And while we are yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. Then, number three, God says that your life matters because you're on God's mind. When a passage of scripture in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 7 says that he even knows the number of hairs on your head. And even though hairs fall from your head every day God is so has you on his mind so much that he knows the numbers of hair on your head, regardless of how many fall out daily. Or in my case, how many you shave away daily. Glory to God. There is another passage. I must have placed my notes somewhere else on this table that I was going to share with you. But, you know, we'll look at this real quick. Look at this. Go with me your Bibles to Psalms. Help me, Holy Ghost. 138, I believe it is. I believe it is. Psalms 138. Glory to God. Am I right? Because I want you to see this. Well, glory to God. I got you close. Psalms 139. Look at Psalms 139. Look at this. God has me on his mind. Say that. God has me on his mind. Come on, say it again. God has me on his mind. And it's not just about me being religious. God has me on his mind because he's saying, "Mark, your life matters to me." God has you on his mind because he's saying your life matters to him. Look at this in Psalms 139. Yes. Verse 1. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off." God has me on his mind. He searched me. He knows me. He knows when I'm sitting. He knows when I'm laying down. And he knows when I'm getting up and moving about. And he understands my thoughts afar off. Verse 3. "Thou compassest my path and my lying down. And you are acquainted with all my ways." Somebody say, God has me on his mind. Verse 4, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together." So God knows when I'm talking right, when I'm talking wrong. He knows when I allow myself to be cussing and fussing. And he says, "That's not why I put you on earth. I didn't put you on earth to see how many people you can cuss out. I didn't put you on earth to see how many things you can fuss about and get upset about. That's not why I gave you life. God says, my life matters because I have you on my mind. So if your life matters to me, then your life should matter to you. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. God has me on his mind. His hand is upon my life. Look at verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there too. Well, watch this. Why is he there? Because you're there. You matter. You matter. Verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Why? Because of you. You matter. God says your life matters because you're on God's mind. Look at verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, meaning your spirit, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. So he was there when you were being formed. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And if his works are marvelous, then his making of you was marvelous as well. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. I don't think you got that. When God had it on his mind to have you born, he wrote everything about you in his book. Jesus, listen. He wrote every member of your body, every organ in your body. That's why you have a right to pray for your healing. Because in his book, he put it down that it was perfect. Jesus, in his book, he wrote it down. Glory to God. How he saw you and made you. And he's not looking at you how life sees you or has made you. He's not looking at you being attacked by the adversary. He looks at you from how he wrote you in his book. And he didn't write you disabled. He didn't write you deformed. He didn't write you discouraged. He didn't write you disappointed. He didn't write you in despair. He didn't write you in, glory to God, depression. He wrote, glory to God, hallelujah. Look at verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee, Jesus. So God says your life matters because you're on God's mind. For God says your life matters because he has attached a plan and a destiny to your life. When you came here, you came here with gifts, a purpose, and a plan. I keep telling you, you're not the byproduct of your parents' passion. So it doesn't make a difference if you don't know who your daddy was, if you don't know who your mama was, if you got adopted. It don't make a difference. Why? Because God just used them to get you here. It wasn't about them. It was about him, Jesus. Glory to God. He has attached Jeremiah 29:11 from the NIV. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Hallelujah. Everyone say, God says, my life matters because he's given me a plan and a purpose. So 5 and 6, he says your life matters because he is the author of life and he gives you life. 6, God says your life matters because he is the architect of your life. And then 7, God says your life matters because your life matters to others. How does my life matter to others? Because remember how we started. Remember how we started in Matthew. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So this light has influence. This light has impact. This light causes things to be affected. And so that's why your life matters to others, because God has made you a light to others. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay, all right. But what happens sometimes is we have what I call the wrong value system. What happens? Why life doesn't matter to some people? Well, it's because they're using the wrong standard and criteria to measure their life. Or you've established the wrong criteria for joy and happiness in life. See, my brothers and sisters, let's get off into this now. When you've been hit in life with hardships, heartaches, and negative happenings, if you have not renewed your mind with the word of God, you're not going to think clearly. You're not going to have a clear perspective for life. And with an unrenewed mind, say unrenewed mind. With an unrenewed mind, when it comes to how you view your value and worth, you're going to have a flawed perspective and a watch this, glory to God, tainted view. Not because of what happened, but because of the lack of effort in applying Romans chapter 12, verse 2 in your life. Let's look at that. Many of you know it by heart, but let's go ahead and look at it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Come on. Blessed be God forever. All right. Romans 12 and 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye, what's that word? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Who may prove? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Stop. Let's go back to the statement I just made. When you've been hit in life with hardships, heartaches, and negative happenings, if you have not renewed your mind with the word of God, you're not going to think clearly. So that means that I am to prove, you are to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God right in the midst of hardships, right in the midst of heartaches, right in the midst of negative happenings. You're to prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So that means that since the hardships are not good, the heartaches aren't good, and negative happenings aren't good, then they're not the will of God for my life. So God wants me to renew my mind so I can navigate through those things, maintaining my self-worth and come out on top. Glory to God. Smelling like roses. Jesus. See, but what happens is by the time you're exposed to a teaching like this, your thinking is already clouded because you've been conditioned to measure your worth and your value by a flawed standard. And until we can get that flawed standard out of you, you won't see yourself like God sees you. Come on, write yourself a note. Somebody put this in the chat for me. I need a scribe who will put this in the chat. Lord, deliver me from a flawed value system. In Jesus' name. Ah, yes. Lord, deliver me from a flawed value system in the name of Jesus. Lord, come on, say it with me now. Lord, deliver me from a flawed value system. I'm just about done, but you got to get this. Glory to God. For time's sake, you just write this scripture down. I'm going to read it because I don't want to take time waiting on you to get there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. This is from the NIV. It says this, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. What? Yes, before renewing my mind, before becoming saved, before becoming a new creature in Christ, God says, I lived by evil desires because of ignorance. So 1 Peter 1:14 from the NIV says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. The New Century Version of that same verse says this, now that you are obedient children of God, do not live as you did in the past. You did not understand, so you did the evil things you wanted. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says this. This is from the Amplified Classic. Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. Come on, everybody say, I must renew my mind. Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. Verse 17, and the world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides, remains forever. Say, that's me. So how do we do this? Okay, let's dive off into this further in these closing moments. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Now, what I just read to you, that was from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 from the Amplified Classic. Man, you need to look at that in your own time. That'll change your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says this. This is from the King James Bible. And it says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Wow. Now, what is that saying? He's simply saying this. Don't get caught up in valuing yourself and measuring your worth by comparing yourself with others. That's basically what he said. When you live a life of comparison, he says you're living unwise. And so now your self-worth and your value and your purpose will be lost in your comparisons. So that's the world system of valuing and measuring yourself if you matter. They want you to compare yourself to others, compare yourself to their standards, compare yourself to their stereotypes, compare yourself to their statistics, to see whether or not you measure up, to see whether or not you matter. The world trains you and conditions you to believe that you matter based upon their comparisons. So let's look at this now, because we got to be delivered from these flawed beliefs, this flawed standard. And these flawed beliefs that we're going to look at, they are prevalent in the world's thinking and in the world's viewpoint. So number one, what's important to the world? What's important in other people's eyes? First and foremost, number one, my possessions. In the world, people will respect you for your possessions. And if you use this standard and you don't have anything, you will determine that you don't matter. But that's the world standard. That's the world. Come on, everybody say, Lord, deliver me from a flawed value system in the name of Jesus. So the world's value system is possessions. Number two, the world values prestige and position. What do I mean by prestige? Admiration and respect for your achievements and quality. And so if you don't have that, the world don't respect you. In the world, people respond to you and respect you if you have prestige and a position. And if you use this standard and you don't have any one of these, you will determine that you don't matter. For example, prestige and position. You know, it's sad that, and I'm not getting on you. I'm not getting on you, ladies. Just listen to me, because I got the brothers too. It's sad that women are go purchase a $500 purse or a $1,000 purse and don't have no money in it. They are measuring themselves by a flawed standard. Or men who will go out and look to purchase a car or purchase, sneakers, $200-$300 pair of sneakers and can't pay the light bill. You're measuring yourself by a flawed value system. And so now you want to show off the sneakers, show off the car. The woman want to show off the purse, show off the dress, because the world has conditioned them and trained them that you'll be respected if you have prestige, a position, or possessions. And that's what they go after. Here's another one. Come on, wait before we go there. Say, Lord, deliver me from a flawed value system in the name of Jesus. Another one that the world respects is pedigree. Where you come from? What family you come from? But see, you don't have nothing to do with that. You was just born. You had nothing to do with that. But if you use this standard and your family background wasn't one of wealth or prestige, then you will determine that because your family didn't have a silver spoon in their mouth, because your family was from the wrong side of the tracks, because your family didn't have this and that, and now you don't have this and that, now you're going to feel like you don't matter. Don't compare yourself by these flawed standards, or you will end up with a flawed belief and a failure behavior. Jesus. Family may not have had this or that, but I already told you, it wasn't because of the family background you're here. It's because of the purpose of God that you're here. Let's see something else that the world values. The world values, we already talked about this, possessions. The world values prestige and position. The world values pedigree. And then the world values presentation. How I look. A lot of people bought in on what they put on television, on what beauty is and what success looks like. And if you don't look like that, then you'll think that you don't matter. You have to become delivered from the mercy of the marketers and advertisers. Jesus. For example, they'll tell you that slim and thin is in, but you're of the healthy variety. So now you're going to struggle to be what they say you should be, or how they say you should look. Listen, don't let what the world applaud become your flaw. Come on, somebody. And then finally, the world values popularity. How I am accepted and approved. People will ruin their families, ruin their marriages, ruin their careers, ruin their lives over wanting to be accepted and approved by others. Popularity. So people are putting their thoughts, for example, on social media. They put their pictures on social media. They put their family photos on social media, and they want to get likes. They want to get an acceptance. They want to get approval. They want people to accept their postings. And if they get any negative comments or not enough likes, they get angry or they get depressed. If you use this standard and don't have enough liked responses or favorable comments, you will determine that you don't matter. But you never will come to this place of self-worth and value and purpose if you try to live by the world's standards. I close with this, dear hearts. Jesus says, glory to God. I got to show you the scripture. I got to end with the scripture. I can't just let you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Jesus said that, and we'll look at this next time. He wants you to draw your value, your worth, and your purpose. Number one, from his propitiation. Meaning he was your substitute for sin so that you wouldn't end in hell. And he says, I value enough to step in for you. Come on, somebody say, he's my propitiation. Yes, yes. Number two, he wants you to value that. His provision, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. I feel the Holy Ghost. I shall not want. Luke 12, glory to God, lets us know that it is your Father. He says, fear not. What is it? Luke 12, 37, something like that. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So he wants me to draw my value from his propitiation. He wants me to draw my value from his provision. Then number three, he wants me to draw my value from his positioning. I was raised up in heavenly places with him. I was made to sit together with him in heavenly places, according to Ephesians chapter 2. He has positioned me, and so now I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. He says, draw your value, your purpose, and your self-worth from being in my position. Jesus. That's why if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things sundered a little by. All things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. And then he says, draw your presence and your worth from his presence. He never deals with raggedy stuff. He never deals with raggedy people. But look what he says about you in 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body, say my body, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? He said, I made you worthy enough to carry my presence. I valued you enough to give you my presence. Glory to God. And I have, glory to God, substantiated you with the purpose because of my presence. Oh, Jesus. Glory to God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Look at verse 20. For you are bought with the price. So the other thing, he says, draw your value, glory to God, and your worth from his price. Yeah. The same price that was paid for everybody was paid for you, the blood of Jesus. He thought you were precious enough to shed his blood for. He thought you were worth enough to shed his blood for. He said your purpose was important enough to cost him his blood. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I have his propitiation. I have his provision. I have his positioning. I have his presence. And I have his price. Jesus. Glory to God. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, now you can glorify God in your body. I ain't got to sleep with every person there is. I ain't got to sleep around. My body is precious. I ain't got to cheat in my marriage. My body is precious. He says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I don't have to carry around a spirit of discouragement. I don't have to carry around a spirit of depression. I don't have to carry around a spirit of disappointment. I don't have to carry around a spirit of anger. I don't have to carry around a spirit of irritation, frustration, agitation, or exasperation. I'm glorifying God, Jesus, in my body and in my spirit. Because I have value. Self-worth and a purpose. And then finally, I'm ending right here, glory to God. He says, I've given you my propitiation. Find your value from that. Find your value from my provision. Find your value from my positioning. Find your value from my presence. And then find your value from my power. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him, somebody ought to be running by now, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. Everyone say, the power is at work in me now. He'll lift me up from valley days, glory to God. He'll push me past from challenging days, glory to God. He'll strengthen me in conflict days. He'll encourage me, glory to God, in pressure days, hallelujah. He'll let me know you're going through the valley. You're not camping here. You're too valuable to waste time. You're worth too much to me, Jesus says, for me to let you lose. I love you too much to let you fail. So he says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I feel like shouting somebody, according to the power that worketh in us. And the power is at work in me because of me, because he loves me, and he'll never leave me nor forsake me, Jesus. He let me know, you always got a way out, boy. You're too good to me for me to let you be left behind. And that's why, dear hearts, Jesus is returning. Because he got some valuable people on earth, and you be one. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, Jesus. He's coming back for a church because you're too precious to be left behind. So you got to understand, God says, my life matters. Let's pray. Father, thank you today. Come on, lift your hands and worship him, somebody. We give you praise and thanksgiving. Oh, we glorify you today. We magnify you. Thank you that our lives matter. They matter to your purpose. They matter to your plan. They matter, glory to God. Hallelujah. Or how you want your power released in the earth. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for making each one of us important to the work of God. Thank you, Lord. We're too important to be forgotten about. We're too important to be left behind. We're too important to be dismissed. You made us important. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for the price that was paid. Just for me. Can you tell him that? Thank you, Lord, for the price that was paid. Just for me. Come on, tell him again. Thank you, Lord, for the price that was paid. Just for me. And we give you praise and thanksgiving, Father. Now, Daddy, I pray that you deliver the one who's been struggling with the flawed value system. Deliver now in Jesus' name. Change their minds. Change their hearts. Change their perspective from this stronghold of a flawed value system. Deliver them from comparisons. Deliver them from competition. Deliver them from condemnation. And we give you praise and thanksgiving for all that you're doing. And you said in your word, it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, put those hands together. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody need to shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.